So let's hear about your 69-year-old lady who actually receives another agent I was going to ask you about. But let's hear, you know, a lot of things happening. It's great, you know, to hear this stuff happen in AML. We, on CME, we're kind of like trying to find interesting things to talk about, and all of a sudden, it's no problem with AML.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, right? I mean, there have been three drug approvals for AML this year, and maybe a fourth is coming on its way. The fourth being actually gemtuzumab, zagomycin, the anti-CD33 antibody drug conjugate. So this is a woman, I saw her as a new visit about a week and a half ago, 69-year-old woman. Interesting story in that she had non-synchronous bilateral breast cancer in 2003 and 2012, hormone receptor positive in both of them, treated at both times with lumpectomy, radiation followed by hormonal therapy. So she developed some cytopenias probably about a month ago. And after she developed those cytopenias, she developed a rash. She had a bone marrow biopsy done. Well, actually, she had a skin biopsy done first that suggested what she had was leukemia cutis. And then her bone marrow biopsy was also suggestive of a AML, specifically a more a monoblastic AML, which makes sense, right? Because when you have a monoblastic AML, those are more likely to infiltrate into extramedullary sites like the skin.
Could you describe the rash, you know, where it was, what it looked like? Was it pruritic?
No. So it's a non-pruritic rash that was primarily on her abdomen, her trunk, and her back. It was almost papular, almost these like small papules that developed that were actually a little bit shiny. She also had more of a macular type rash on her arms and her legs, but it was most pronounced on her trunk. And I didn't do the initial workup of her, but when I saw her, the thing that got me most concerned, because someone had told her it might have been an allergic reaction, was that it wasn't itchy and it didn't have that typical Hy-Vee appearance or that sort of sandpaper-like appearance.
Have you seen this before?
Yeah. So we see leukemia cutis, you know, not frequently, but every, you know, three or four times a year.
Wow.
Leukemia cutis can look like anything, but certainly if you've got cytopenias and you also have a rash that is non-pruritic and doesn't look like hives, that should at least raise the concern for a myeloid malignancy.
So what were you thinking or what are you thinking right now in terms of her treatment?
Yeah. So initially what I was thinking was she's relatively young. She's 69 years old and otherwise in very, very good health. Doesn't have any high-risk chromosomal abnormalities that would make me think that she would not respond to chemotherapy, like a P53 mutation. So I was initially going to give her induction chemotherapy with 7+3, like I do to all my patients. But actually, the day I saw her, this drug CPX351, the liposomal formulation of daunorubicin and cytarabine, was approved by the FDA. And because of that, I do think that given that she had radiation twice, I think that this could legitimately be considered a therapy-related acute myeloid leukemia. And I think she would fall into that category of patients who benefited from CPX351. The FDA label says that any patient with AML with myelodysplasia-related changes or therapy-related AML would be appropriate for this drug regardless of their age. And this is based on the results of a large randomized phase 3 study in patients older than the age of 65 with AML that arose from a prior myelodysplastic syndrome or looked like it did based on the bone marrow biopsy or therapy-related AML that actually showed a fairly significant median overall survival benefit on the tune of about 4 months for the investigational arm over the control arm.
So is there some biologic reason you would expect it to be effective in these AML cases that are secondary as opposed to primary? Or is it just the way the trial was done and follow the data?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right? So the million-dollar question is, so the thought is that you get more consistent drug delivery with the liposomal formulation. So is it somehow the patients with secondary AML need more or need more prolonged or more consistent exposure to chemotherapy than patients with de novo AML? I mean, that would be the, you know, sort of the hypothesis.
Does this lady's marrow suggest it's secondary?
Her marrow does suggest it's secondary in the sense that she does have some dysplastic changes in the myeloid cells.
Because, I mean, she got post-lumpectomy breast radiation. Of course, the first time was 2003. So, you know, I don't know. The second time was 2012. But I don't know. Somehow that doesn't sort of ring with me in terms of AML, or am I wrong?
Yeah. So it's much more common. You're right. So it's much more common that patients will get, patients who develop therapy-related AML will have gotten ACT or for breast cancer, and it's the cytoxan or the anthracycline that causes the problem.
Or maybe more marrow radiated, you know,
yeah,
an area that misses, you know, skin, whatever.
Yeah. So having said that, we do every so often see these patients with therapy-related AML who've gotten radiation. And could it be that this is just another unfortunate event and it's not related to the radiation? It could be. But our general practice is that in a patient who's gotten prior radiation for a malignancy or prior cytotoxic chemotherapy, that we consider it a therapy-related disease.